Okay, let's assemble ourselves, get ready for the study of the Word of God. Okay, let's open God's precious Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I really enjoy this study. If anybody accuses me of not teaching any practical theology for living a Christian life, I'm going to tell him you didn't come to the 9:15 class. That's just that simple. It was there. And anybody accused me of not teaching them Christ, you just weren't there on Wednesday night. So, okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. I mean, you've made the effort to set your clocks back and get here at the right time. And get here, so let's be sure we're in the power of the Holy Spirit, that it's beneficial spiritually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this word. It tells us so much, so many areas of our life, prophecy, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ, what happened on the cross and after the cross, and Father, how to live each day regardless of what's going on in history. Wherever we are in prophecy, it doesn't really matter. We are to live our life as unto the Lord. Father, pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we have moved to verse 24, and verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Now, that's in the games, the four games that are run in Corinth every year, every other year, things like that. But in the Christian life, every Christian can win the prize. So he says, run in such a way that you may win. And so people, we are in a lifestyle whereby we're looking for winning. And we've noted several things in regard to the running of the race. For an example, we do not compete with one another. We're to help one another. And then we noted Galatians 6:9 and of Hebrews 10:32-39, and I'm sorry we left off when we did, because all we had was one more passage. One thing that plagues a lot of athletes, and therefore plagues a lot of Christians in the spiritual warfare. So let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm surprised we don't have a book to the Church of Antioch. I love the believers of Antioch, but the church in Philippi and Thessalonica apparently were pretty sound believers and students of the Word. And so Paul gives a lot of the Christian life as well as a lot of prophecy in regard to the Christian life. But if we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. And this happens to a lot of believers. I go to church, and preach, and da-da-da. They don't sing songs I want. I want upbeat songs. They sing upbeat songs, holy rolling songs. I want the old hymns. And you just can't please everybody. And I don't like these people that go, and I don't like those people, and the people I do like don't say hello to me. And so it just is just all kinds of things. It used to be an old gospel hymn and that I loved. I'd be surprised if even James has ever heard of this one. But it goes through all the reasons why you can't go to church. And one of the lines is, little Johnny has a sore nose, and it takes the whole family to stay home and help him blow that nose, and can't get to church. And so a lot of reasons. And then after a while, things aren't really happening in your life. And my grandson is playing football for the first year in his life. And I've been trying to just tell him things along the way. And most important thing, he'll talk about practice. All we did was run, run, run. I told him that fourth quarter legs is what wins a lot of games. And you got the legs in the fourth quarter, you don't have the legs in the fourth quarter. And you can generally tell in a good tight game the team whose legs are weakening. You'll see them stand with their hands on the hip. I said, don't ever do that. I told my granddaughters who play basketball, don't ever stand with your hands on your hip. That means you're tired. You'll never see a pro do that. They don't do it. And you may be worn out, but you don't stand there with your hands on your hips. And so it's a fourth quarter legs. And that's when the battle gets tight. And you just can't get weary. And you just have to keep going. All right, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Now, here's the question that I want to ask this morning is, win what? What are we going to win? What's the prize out there? Is it you get an extra supply of ice cream in heaven? Or what do you get in heaven or on earth for winning? All right, make no doubt about this fact. There is inequality in heaven. And a lot of Christians don't like that. They just don't like that idea. And they refuse to understand. See, the thing is, in eternity, when we're in a resurrected body, it has no inherited sin nature. And so what I like to ask people, I'm careful who I ask, but if you drive around and you drive into just a really beautiful mansion neighborhood where just everything's a big, you know, 4,000 square feet home and a half acre land around it and all, are you jealous that you don't have it? If you are, you're in trouble. But most of us aren't. We can drive by and say, well, our yard looks better than their yard. Or, boy, that really is good how they did that. Or that's really nice. And these kind of things. So people, if you can experience it just a little bit on earth, how you're not jealous or envious of those who have more, just think of eternity with no resurrected body, no inherited sin nature in your resurrected body. And so there's going to be no type of jealousy. There's going to be no, oh, well, look, they got more stars than I do. They got more crowns than I do. They got this and they got that. They got a better room in the New Jerusalem than I got. All these kinds of problems. You're not going to have any of that. But there is inequality in eternity. And it's going to be based upon the time you spend in the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we have to study crowns, because that's namely one of the primary things we have in regard to eternity, or crowns that every believer can win in the spiritual warfare. So here's some of the crowns. Let me just go through them. We're not going to study them. Not even going to look up the passages. I'll give you the passages. But just to give you an idea. Because that's what they ran for in the four games. And they just get a little crown of olive leaf or something like that in it. And that, boy, I mean, they ran for that. We have a crown that we can run for. One, a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness by faithfulness, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. If you're in the Holy Spirit, you'll be faithful. You're faithful, you get the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. You should aspire to a crown of righteousness in heaven. And then secondly, the crown of joy. The crown of joy. And that's Philippians 4:1. And this is winning souls for Christ. It says they walk around, I'm so happy. I'm so... No, this is winning souls to Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Serving one another in spiritual love. So, this is the crown of joy. Then thirdly, there's the crown of glory. A crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4. This one does seem to be isolated to the faithfulness of pastor teachers. And some people debate that. I'm not going to get into the big debate, but it seems to be a crown of glory is given to the pastor who teaches using gold and silver and precious stones, and as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble. Now, if you remember that study, a lot of people have that passage so incorrect. They think, you know, we get gold, silver, and precious stones and all that. No. If you study the context, gold, silver, and precious stones is what the pastor uses to teach the flock, or wood, hay, and stubble. Now, wood, hay, and stubble are not heretical doctrines. They're just, he's just up there blowing wind, and it isn't going to do you very good in the midst of a storm. It may look nice, but in a storm, the wood, hay, and stubble is not going to hold up. And I'm thinking that if, when we finish our special, we're doing a special after Daniel, and, well, I just tell you, we're going to do, because you're so ready for it, my mind. We've done all of Daniel now, and so we're going to look at Matthew 24 and 25, which is the most powerful teaching by Christ in prophecy. And you're just ready for it, having finished Daniel. And I'm still thinking about what I want to do after we finish that. And I thought about going through a lot of epistles that I'll never get through at the five-year pace, and just spend a chapter a Sunday on Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1st and 2nd Peter, and these kind of things, and just study a chapter. And all we'd be looking for, is the way I'm going to show it, is we're looking for the gold and silver and precious stones in there, and just pull out the precious doctrines as we go through. Not really study them, but just note them. But anyway, in this regard, the crown of glory seems to be for the pastor who uses gold, silver, and precious stones in the teaching. That means he does his studies. And he does it under tribulation, he does it in season and out of season. And then there is the crown of life. The crown of life. Revelation 2:10, James 1:12. Faithfulness under adversity, faithfulness under tribulation, faithfulness under temptations. And we're all going to experience those. Again, it's dependent on the Holy Spirit. So you've got to have the Holy Spirit in that regard. Now, just to let you know, these crowns are incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and following. We'll get to that when we get them to in our study. They're incorruptible. Now, we're not in competition with one another. Every believer has the opportunity to win. There are many crowns. I don't know if Revelation 19:12 is a hint that there are other crowns than the ones that I've mentioned that we have recorded. I think there are. It's just like I do not believe that every spiritual gifts listed in the Word. But I'm not going to break fellowship or anything. If somebody wants to believe that, that's fine. But there are many crowns, and every believer can win all these crowns. Okay, 3 points. For whom? Believers only. When? In eternity. Based upon? Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9:25. Everyone who competes. We're now moving to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're moved to verse 25 now. In verse 25, we finished 25 now. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. People, we moved right into the Holy Spirit, because self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But we have a couple of things before we even get to that are very important. Self-control in all things. In all things. That's going to hit a lot of people. They're very good at what they're good at. But when it comes to all things, no, they're not. So we're going to be taking a look at that. And then they then do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we, an imperishable. Okay, let's take a look. Everyone who competes. Brian Sinclair, I bow to you. King James outdoes everyone here. I love what the King James translates, competes. It says, striveth for the mastery. I love that. Strive for the mastery. And I think that's a great translation of our word. And because that's what we should do. Strive for the mastery. If we take it this way, every believer should strive for mastery in the Spirit-filled life. Strive for mastery in a life lived by faith. Mastery of glorifying Jesus Christ. Not competing, but striving to be the best you can be for Christ. The Greek word originally meant to, this is what the Greek word originally meant, to contend for victory in the public games. That's right out of the lexicons. To contend for victory in the public games. And again, if we understand this in a Christian way and motif, every Christian can live the victorious life, which is lived in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at the public games. People, that doesn't set us apart. We are in the public games, in the angelic conflict. God is watching us. Angels are watching us. See, you thought your wife was the only one watching you. No, it's God's watching you. Hey, that was supposed to have been funny. Angels are watching you. People are watching you, especially those in your periphery, at work, at family, church. We're all under being watched. It's public display. Never lose sight of the fact that angels are watching. Angels are interested. Angels are learning as they watch us in the spiritual warfare. In Daniel, don't forget now, in Daniel, angels fought each other to keep Daniel from getting the word of God. Remember that? They stood up there for 21 days. The angel had to fight. The angels who did not want Daniel to get the message. And so, angels are very much involved in our receiving the word of God. Then in chapter 12, remember, it was an angel who asked, when will all these things take place? It wasn't Daniel who said it. It was an angel who said, how long before all of this transpires? So, we're in the angelic conflict, and people, it's public. It's public. And you can hide a lot of your sins. You can hide a lot, and you can be in the front, oh, I'm a great Christian. But let me tell you something. Angels know the truth. What's going on in your marriage? What's going on in your home? What's going on with your money? What's going on in your soul? They know what's going on. You're not going to be able to hide it from them. You may be able to put up a front, but you're not fooling anyone except yourself and a few other people who are impressed with your deceptions. But angels are watching, and they're always watching. And this is part of the angelic conflict. So this is the public area. So the public games, everyone who competes strives for mastery in the public games, is what the Greek word actually means. All right, let's see what it says. To contend for victory in public games. To strive for victory in the angelic conflict. People, we have to live today in view of eternity, not in view of tomorrow. See, a person says they're going to take out 4 years, just to highlight it, 4 years of their life, going to invest it in college before they start working and making money and all. Some people know I want to get right to work. Some people know I want to get right to having babies. I know I want to get into the military. No, I want to do this. But just to make the point, some people say, I'm setting this aside because I know, all things remaining equal, 5 years from now, I'm going to want this education. Well, people, we don't even live in 5 years. We live looking forward to eternity. And that takes a rare person. It takes a rare person. This is why a lot of times companies don't care what your degree is in. Has a degree. That means to them, you disciplined yourself to go to college for 4 years and get a degree. That says something about what kind of person you are. You persevered. You disciplined yourself to study, pass grades, all this kind of thing, and that sets you apart. And there are people sitting in office often who don't have a college education, but the guy with the college education gets promoted over them. Why is that? There's just something about in the eye, in the mind of business, that you've disciplined yourself, and therefore you should be rewarded for that, and you should be able to handle it. So we do not live our life in that respect. We live our life in respect to eternity. This is a rare breed. It's a rare person who can live in the flesh but live in sight of eternity. I'm going to be home, and this is going to be forever. This isn't going to be for 50 years and then I'll retire and get a gold watch. No, this is for all eternity. And we live our life for that. So that's the whole issue of this regard. And the Greek word came to be used, just in general, to fight. That's the basic understanding of the word. It came to be used to fight. Now what's interesting here is there are pastors, teachers, who do not really like the idea of an angelic conflict. They say there's really no battle, the battle's already won, and the Christian just accepts everything that's going on, and like that, and just exemplify a little faith. But right there's the battle. And I want to emphasize this very heavily this morning. The battle is a battle of faith. That's our battle. Your battle is not to be in Bible class. Your battle is to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Your battle is not giving money to the Lord. The battle is to be in the Holy Spirit and led of the Holy Spirit. Your battle is not to witness or not witness. Your battle is to be in the filling of the Spirit, and He will lead you. This is the great battle that we're in. The battle is a battle of faith. So important is this. I want to take up some points. Point one. We are to live by faith. We're to live by faith. Faith always has an object, and the object of our moment-by-moment faith is the Holy Spirit. I will back that up in a few moments as we go through this. So point one, that's how we're to live. We're to live by faith in the Holy Spirit. Point two, must understand something. Faith is totally opposed to your sin nature, to your flesh nature. Faith always has an object. The faith that the Christian is to live by is not a fatalistic faith. I think a lot of Christians live by fatalistic faith. That is, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. And God's in control, and there's nothing we can do. Don't pray about it. Don't worry about it. It's just going to happen, and that's all there is to it. The Christian, not to strive or fight, but just to accept whatever happens. This is not the faith God is looking for. God is not looking for a fatalistic faith. God is looking for moment-by-moment faith in God, God the Holy Spirit, moment-by-moment. And taking some phrases out of the Bible, be filled with the Holy Spirit, walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, leading of the Holy Spirit, be led of the Holy Spirit. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we are when we trust Him to guide us. Live by the Holy Spirit. And then the one I like is keep in step. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You got to keep in step with Him. You got to keep your mind working. And be led and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. None of these even hint of a fatalistic faith. Faith is the action of every believer in the spiritual warfare. The invisible warfare, people. That's what we're in. And it's not a fatalistic faith. It's an active faith in a member of the Godhead. That brings us to point three. Now, the battle. The fight. Every moment of every day for the believer is that faith is opposed to and opposed by our flesh nature. Your inherited sin nature. Our flesh nature does not want to surrender control to anyone, especially God the Holy Spirit. Faith is antithetical to our flesh nature. People, you got to understand who you are. You're not who you are in the flesh. That person has been dead, killed with being baptized in Christ by the Holy Spirit. But we raise him up. We love to raise up our old flesh nature. Come alive, flesh nature. I want to enjoy myself here. I want to be angry. I want to be jealous. I want to be mad. I want to gossip. I want to malign. I want to sin. Come on, get up here. See, we resurrect the flesh nature. And the flesh nature cannot stand it when you decide to go by faith. So there's the conflict going on inside of us. The faith is opposed to and by our inherited sin nature. You got to know you are who you are in Christ. Now, it seems like we're who we are in the flesh because it's always been with us. But in actuality, that person's been killed, and we raise him up. That brings us to point four. Some biblical documentation. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians 5, 17. Can't get away from Galatians because Galatians is, to me, the primer of all of Paul's teaching. It's the seed of all of the doctrines of the longer books. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 17. For the flesh, that is your inherited sin nature that runs through every cell in your body, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit. People, this introduces the inner warfare, the inner battle, the inner conflict of every born again believer. This is going on in every believer. Now, some believers do not know about this inner conflict. You know why? Because they've already just surrendered totally to the flesh. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to be reminded of it. They don't want to go to Bible class. They don't want to open their Bible and read the Bible. And they don't want to hang around people that do. So they just turn it all off. So they really don't have a big conflict. They have surrendered to their flesh nature. They're saved eternally, but no real conflict because they've just cut it all out. They have cut out anything to do with the Holy Spirit to be reminded that He's in there. So they've just surrendered to the flesh. Or, this is another group, there's so many things you can go off on all of this. There's the other group that are so deceived in their religion that everything they're doing is so wonderful. So they don't have the conflict. They just think I'm wonderful. And so they're deceived. But there are those believers who daily experience this inner conflict. They just experience it all the time. Now, it says, for the flesh sets its desire, singular, against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. All right, let's take a look. Sets its desire. Present active indicative. Why do I point that out? Because this is all the time. Present tense, all the time. Present tense, sets its desire. Which means this is going on in us all the time. This is going on inside of you. When you're under the Holy Spirit, and you've made a conscious thought process of faith in the Spirit, the flesh is setting its desire against the Holy Spirit. When you're in the flesh, the Holy Spirit is punching. The Holy Spirit wants to be in control, setting its desire against the flesh. This is always going on inside of His people. Now, let's look at the phrase, sets its desire. In the Greek, this word zeroes in on the inner conflict. Let me show you why. The battle is taking place. Where the battle is taking place? It's epithumeo. I should have had it out of the overhead. Epithumeo. Epithumeo. It's a compound word in the Greek. And it comes from the word epi, epi prefix. That means in. Plus thumos, mind. In the mind. The daily battle is for control of your mind. It's control of your mind. Your parents ever say to you, you're out of your mind? You don't have a mind? Something like that? Well, you have one. When I had an MRI, I asked him, well, did you find me I have a brain? And the lady said, yeah, you have one that was in there. And so this being's in your mind. People, the daily battle is for control of your mind. If your mind is controlled, the control of the mind, you control the emotions. You control the mind, you control the pocketbook. If God controls your mind, He controls your emotions. He controls your pocketbook. If your flesh is in control, the flesh will control your emotions. The flesh will control your pocketbook. If you're in the Holy Spirit will control your emotions. The Holy Spirit will control your pocketbook. The battle is a battle for the mind. That's the real you. What you're thinking, what's going on? You must be on constant alert as to what's going on in your mind. Now, this is where we chop Calvinism's knees off, right here. You have a choice. They would say no. The Word of God makes it very clear. You have a choice. You choose who's going to control. You get to choose. Whether it's going to be the Holy Spirit or whether it's going to be the flesh nature. You choose. It's a choice. Depression is a choice. Stress is a choice. Anxiety is a choice. Fear is a choice. Jealousy is a choice. You choose to do these things. It's very hard for a lot of people to understand that. We studied this in great detail in our study of SAD, being who you are in Christ. But you choose. I don't care what's going on. You choose. You want to get angry? You choose to get angry. You want to lose it? You've chosen to. No, I didn't. It's the way everything. No, no. You had a choice. You had a choice. I don't want to overwork my ace example. But you're sitting at home and the phone rings at night and your child has just died in an automobile crash. Instantly, you have the choice. It's your choice now. You can fall apart, cry, blame your husband or your wife for letting them leave in the car. You can do a lot of different things. You can choose to go into your bedroom, shut the door, and just become a zombie. You can choose to go into the kitchen and make a big chocolate cake, invite me over, and this kind of thing. Or, you can choose, Father, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. I trust you. Now you're able to think. You're able to find out, where are they, what's going on, and go through these things and handle them. It's a choice, people. You have a choice. Don't ever think, well, I don't really have a choice. It just happened. No, nothing just happens. I'm sorry. You and I make a decision. We make a choice. Who's going to control up here? Is it going to be the flesh, which has all kinds of problems, or is it going to be the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit will give you self-control, as we'll see when we get back to our verse in 1 Corinthians 9. It'll be up to you. Do you have your... No. All right, so this is what you can do. You have a choice. You, by your own volition, decide who's going to control your mind. It has come to my attention in our 1 o'clock class, talking to Chris Day, that in America, pornography is an unbelievable addiction in America. I didn't realize how big as it was. But it is big. And I have not really mentioned it and dealt with it. I just never realized it was that prominent. And it's very prominent in churches, I've learned on the internet. And so this is just one of those things. I want to talk about it, along with any other addiction. See? You make up your mind. You make up your own mind. There's not anything saying, you've got to watch pornography. You've got to do this. You've got to go get a drink. You've got to... No. No, you make that decision. You make that decision. Now, you've got to make a decision, and something like that, I'll put something in its place. Don't ever just say, I shouldn't do that, I can't do that. That'll never work. You got to put something in its place. I'm going to go get my Bible. I'm going to get on my knees and pray. I'm going to talk to somebody who is in a spiritual conflict. I'm going to do these things. You make up your mind. It's in your mind. You choose. You choose your addiction. The addiction doesn't choose you. And it's a choice. So we got to have this understood very clearly. And these thoughts control your mind. You must immediately make a counter decision to think in the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about Jesus Christ. Think about the Word of God. Think about believers who are in the Spirit, hopefully, and associate with them. It's a battle. I'm not saying it isn't a battle. It's a battle. And I know that. We all have various types of addictions. But you can't blame the addiction, people. It's up to you to make that decision. It's up to you. Today, one of the big deals is, well, a person doesn't choose to be a homosexual. I don't agree with that. But even if that's true, even if that's true, that it's genetically in there. Well, people, that doesn't mean you do it. Some people are genetically prone to stealing. So what are we going to do? Oh, well, we're going to talk stealing's okay. It's okay if you're a hypochondriac. You can steal. We won't do anything. No, it's wrong. You don't steal. Well, you know, they have a desire for a member of the same sex. Well, I have a desire for members of the opposite sex, so I'm going to go out and do whatever I want to with a member of the opposite sex all the time. No. It's all up here, people. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. Make a decision. That's our life. And your daily life is a battle to fight the flesh and be in faith in the Holy Spirit. So give your mind something else to think about if any of these things come into play. Now, here is what's going on inside of you. The flesh. The flesh. For the flesh. That's inherited sin nature. And let me remind you of something. That's not the real you. It's been around a long time. It sure seems like it's me. Boy, I sure know it really well. I kind of enjoy it sometime. But it's not the real you. The real you is who you are in Christ. You're a new creation. So this flesh person is not the real you. So don't go satisfying something that is not you, because that isn't going to pay for it. The flesh nature, when you believed in Christ, dropped off. The resurrected body, it's left behind. That's a good thing that's left behind, is your flesh nature. We had taken the realm of unbelievers, but a good thing left behind is your flesh nature. It does not go with your soul and spirit. It is not in your resurrected body. It's not you. Why do you want to satisfy it? Why do you want to please it? And people, it can be good, I'm going to say good sins. It's an oxymoron. But sins that nobody knows about. Things that are up in your mind. It can be gossip. It can be mental attitude. It can be the tongue, maligning, judging. It can be overt. All of these types of things are part of the flesh nature fighting to get their way out. And so you have to make a decision. No, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit control. You set your desires yourself. Don't let your flesh nature set them. You decide, no, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit set my desires. So, and the flesh and the Holy Spirit are battling inside of us all the time. For the flesh sets its desire, now, your thoughts, your mind, directed toward what it desires, against the Holy Spirit. Okay. inside of every one of us, running through our bodies, the inherited sin nature of the flesh, and God. God, the Holy Spirit. And both are seeking to control your thinking. They both want to control your thinking. And you got to decide which one will control. Years and years ago, I don't know what they still do, if they still use their still little blue books, but Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright had a beautiful little pamphlet, and it had the throne. And it said, you decide who sits in the throne. You are the Holy Spirit. And that was very good. You decide. It's a decision all of us have to make. And you decide what's going to control you, the lust, the pleasures of the flesh, or the desires of the Holy Spirit. What's the desire of the Holy Spirit? To glorify Christ, who died for you, by the way. What's your flesh ever done for you besides get you in trouble? See? Christ died for you. Christ gave you eternal life. So this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit sets your desire. That is, He controls your thoughts directed toward Christ. For the flesh sets its desire. Now I want you to notice it's in the singular. Not desires, but desire. It has one desire. And you know what that one desire of your flesh nature is? Satisfy self. That's your one desire of the flesh nature. Satisfy self, whatever it may be at that moment. I used to teach how the inherited sin nature is the immune system. Things like jealousy, that's the immune system. Yourself feels threatened. Somebody else is complimented. Somebody else says, oh, well, you sure look nice. Well, wait a minute. What, I look pretty good. Hey? And it's your flesh nature. It's, it always jumps in there. That's what an immune system does. An immune system protects who we are. So you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. You're not your flesh person. You're who you are in Christ. But the immune system of our flesh nature jumps up to protect. How dare they cut in front of me on the road? How dare you do that to me? See? That's your flesh. Hey, you don't do that to me. I got to protect me. So pull out a gun and shoot them. Get up in front of them and pass them up and then slam the brake on in front of them. Do something. Teach them they can't do that to you. That's your flesh nature. It's your immune system. It's protecting you. Jealousy, anger, fear, all these things are protecting the flesh self. That's what they're for. They are for, that's their purpose. And some people have a very good immune system in their flesh. See? But the Holy Spirit wants to protect who you are in Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to protect the glory of Christ in you. Wants to protect and get you ready for eternity. So this sets us up, this whole issue. The desire is in the singular. Now, for the flesh sets its desire against the Holy Spirit. Hey, see that word against? That little word lets you know it's a personal conflict. And it's going on inside of you. It's a personal fight. Against. There's things going on inside of us fighting against each other. Every believer has going on inside of them at all times. Against your flesh. Against the Holy Spirit. They're battling. Psh, 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 always. You didn't eat some bad tacos. You have a battle going on inside of you. And that battle is the flesh and the Holy Spirit. And they're fighting against one another inside of you. Okay, warning. You may be thinking about Christ. You may be singing. You may be giving or talking and all that. But people, it's all about you. It isn't from the Holy Spirit. Other people may be impressed. God's not. God reads our mind. Just stay out of my mind! No, He reads your mind. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows your motivation. See, He knows it. He knows what you and I are thinking. See? So, and a lot of preachers get up there and they're just preaching away. It's not for the Lord. It's for them. It's for them to make themselves look good, feel good. Look at all the great things I'm doing. So you can try to fake out this whole system, but people, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on, and that you're not doing it for the Lord, you're doing it for yourself. It is not for Him, it's about you. It's about your flesh nature. We have to be constantly aware of what is going on in our mind. Have to be constantly aware. You got to think all the time about what's going on in your mind. If you took a gun shooting course, tell me if I'm not right, you got to think. That's the whole issue. You can't be worried of what that intruder is going to do and all of that. You got to think. Get your weapon, hold it up, and shoot. Fire, aim, breathe right, squeeze. You got to think. And it's what you're thinking about. Ah, somebody's in my house! Ah! Start screaming. See? Or you think. Ah, someone's in my house. Let's see what this .45 will do to their head. See? You think. You got to think. And in the spiritual warfare, people, Satan, the flesh, the world, always coming down your hall at your house, in your head. And you got to constantly pull out the Holy Spirit and fire away the Holy Spirit at him. This whole battle, again, is about choice. You have to make the choice all the time. Whether your flesh is going to control your thinking or whether the Holy Spirit's going to control your thinking. For the flesh sets its desire against, there's your conflict, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit, understood verb, sets its desire against the flesh. The verb is understood. So again, we have a vivid picture of the fight going on inside. Against. Flesh is against the spirit. Spirit's against the flesh. Man, it's going on. It's when do we get any sleep at all? See? This is always going on. This fight between the Holy Spirit and your flesh. The way you think, what do you think to counter it? Think about God. Think about Christ. Think about the Holy Spirit. These are the things that the Holy Spirit puts in your mind. For these, continuing our verse, for these, your flesh and the Holy Spirit, both inside of you, look at it, are in opposition to one another. Here's another word, a battle going on inside of us. They're in opposition to one another. They're against one another, opposition to one. Paul's making it very clear. There's only any way you can miss this. He's letting you know there's this conflict. Or in opposition to one another. This is another clever compound of the Greek. It's made up of the prefix against and the Greek word meaning to place. To place against. That's what they are. God has placed against our flesh nature the Holy Spirit. They're against each other. This is going on inside of you. They fight against each other and they are opposed to each other. And I love the Greek word. To be placed against one another. Inside of you. All this is going inside of you. See? To oppose you. Just another way of letting us know there's a battle going on inside of every one of us. And it is real. And it's going on all the time. And the reason it's going on, there are two forces set against each other inside of us. Boy, don't you know a psychiatrist would have a ball with us today? My goodness. Boy, he'd be, honey, redo the swimming pool. I got some really goofy ones here. But this is going on inside. And you're not going to get this from secular strength. You're not going to get this from psychotherapy. This is from the Word of God. And it tells us the flesh is no good. The world likes to start off, you're really a good person. I like to start off, you're really rotten. You're desperately wicked. You're insane. All these types of things. You're continually being corrupted. On and on and on. And inside of you is the Holy Spirit fighting that nature. And they're just at this battle going on inside of us at all times. All right, warning. It's very easy to shut off the influence of the Holy Spirit. Not listen to him. Don't go to church. We already went through this. Don't go to church. Don't study the Word. Don't read it. Don't open your Bible. And don't associate with those that do. Just don't do that. Kind of shut him off. But now here's the problem. Here's the problem. You can never shut off the flesh nature. It will always be right there to take advantage. So, as you go through life, and you've been a believer, say 40 years or something, and walking in the Spirit, studying the Word, the flesh nature's right there. It's just amazing how this works. Because if you want to, you just get into a mode, Holy Spirit has no influence on the battle inside of you. You've cut Him off. You've cut Him off. He doesn't. No light's going to be turned on in your soul that what you're doing is wrong or anything, because there is no right or wrong. But boy, on the other side, the flesh nature is always going to be there. Right there until we die. And no matter how much you walk in the Spirit, study His Word, stay in His Word, that flesh nature is still trying to get in. Still opposing. Still fighting. Now, the last phrase is interesting. The last phrase is interesting in regard to this inner battle. So that. Alright, this introduces an interesting and another warning. Something that happens due to the inner struggle that's going on inside of us. Okay? So that you may not do the things you please. That's so pitiful. That's really pitiful. Here again, Calvinism loses out. The word to please is the word thelo, T-H-E-L-O. It means to will, to wish, to desire. Calls into effect your volition. Your volition. Now there are two Greek words that we can spend a lot of time on. It'd be good for a whole thesis. We'll just spend about a minute. The first word is voluma. B-O-U-L-E-M-A. This means to will, to intend, to desire, to design. But not pressing on to execute that will. I love the Greek. Not pressing on to execute that will. Our word thelo relays the idea of not only willing to do something, but pressing on to action. I have every intention of going to Bible class. I'm going to church. I'm going to go study. I have every intention. What? What? I can go to a club and be with a bunch of friends. Oh, okay. This is what's going on inside. But I love this Greek word. The Greek word doesn't mean just something you please. It means you have made a decision and you're willing to act on it. You're willing to act on it. You're driving to Bible class. You've gone that far. And there's the club. There's the joint. There's this. There's that. Psh! There you go. This is the battle going on inside. So I made a decision, a desire. I'm executing it to go to Bible class. Cut you off. You don't even go. How did I get over here tonight? I wanted to be in Bible class. I wanted to be. What am I doing here? Okay? That's what this verse is saying. This phrase is saying. The flesh is so powerful, you won't do what you even made up your mind to do. So this is important. It shows the intensity of this inward battle, people. You can be that set to do something in regard to the Lord, the filling of the Spirit, that you've gotten dressed, you've gotten your Bible, you're in the car, you're driving on your way, and bingo, you don't get there. And it isn't because of a wreck. It's because you made a decision to go somewhere else. See? So this is very powerful of what's going on. So Galatians 5:17, let's take a look at it. For the flesh, that's the old you, the inherited sin nature, sets its desire, and the only way I know how to do this is in parentheses, in the mind, to control the mind, against, there's the battle, the Spirit, and the Spirit against, reinforcing the understanding of battle, the flesh. For these are in opposition, there's the battle, I just want you to see in one verse, Paul, you can't miss what Paul's doing over and over. He's letting us know this battle is going on to one another. You have to make a volitional decision as to which one will win control in your mind, so that whichever way you choose to go, you may not do the things that you are predetermined to do. You really want to do them. I really want to, and I believe that. I really want to go to church. I really wanted to do this. I really want to spend the money on groceries. But boy, the racetrack was just had a good horse running. See? I really wanted to do it. And that's not a lie. This verse says that's not a lie. You made a commitment. You want to do it. But the flesh nature is so strong, it cuts you off. And you don't even do what you really set your mind to do for the Lord. People, we and I are in a conflict. A real, consistent conflict. All right, we'll pick it up here in 2 weeks. Next week, Phil is going to be teaching. And do you know what you're going to be teaching on? Finish James, all right? So go over your notes for the last time, and he'll finish up James next week. So let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father. I thought fighting my weight was my battle. I thought getting up in the morning was my battle. Now I learn there's a battle constantly going on inside, far greater than these others, far more important. These have eternal repercussions, eternal. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we studied this morning, have them become a reality in our souls and our lives, and become so aware of the conflict going on inside. For our desire, Heavenly Father, is to glorify Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.